We're scattered out good, aren't we? In case the mask patrol comes in. We don't care who comes in. Glory to God. Karen wanted me to announce to you about Sunday school. It's up and running. It's 10 o'clock. They're doing the Authority of the Believer, which is absolutely excellent. You need to go through that book. If you can't come to Sunday school, then you need to get that book and read it. Not just once, but you need to read it till you understand it, till you get it down in your spirit. It'll change your life. That literally will change your life. And she has breakfast. You can't beat this deal. At 9:30. And there's also children's class. So praise the Lord. So when you get to heaven, Jesus will ask you, did you go to Sunday school and did you eat breakfast? And you can say yes or no. And now also, Penny will announce this again, Miss Elaine will be here Friday night, right? Are you ready for her?
Yes.
And so I decided we won't have church Wednesday night. Okay? We won't have any church Wednesday night. We'll have prayer Tuesday night, and that way you'll be primed good and excited and ready to jump in there. Is that all right? So you can come on in. So no Wednesday night service, and you can jump in here Friday night, Missy Lane, and we can wind it up, you know. Keep winding it up till the rubber band breaks. Glory to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, look with me in the Bible. We're Bible church, Bible-believing church. We come for one thing, for the Word of God. I like praise and worship to Him. To Him. Remember I talked to you about ministering to the Lord or ministering to the house. Most people have a relationship when they start coming to church, and when you just start coming, I understand how people do and how they make connections. Some people come because they like the pastor. Well, you need to like your pastor, but that's not the number one reason you go to church. It's because you like the pastor. Some people come because they like the church and it's nice and comfortable and pretty and a big crowd. They like that, and so they'll come because of that. Some people come because they got a lot of groups. You know, they got this little group for singles and these for wannabe singles and these are trying to keep from being single and these are the fifth time single, and they have all these little groups, and they have these places for young people to meet girls, and then they have things, and they like it because they have all these groups in churches. Amen? Some people go because they like the music, they like the praise and worship, and some people go because they just, if you have the proper fellowship, and right fellowship, and if you talk with them and make them feel welcome and comfortable. And all these things are good. We need all these things to a point somewhat, but that's not the reason you go to church. You go to church because somebody teaches the Word. Amen. Teaches you the Word. Now, that's why I went to church. That's why I sought out church. That's why I sought out meetings. For that reason and that reason only. And so some of these other things I have a weakness in. And I'll admit that. I'm not really big on visitation. I mean, I like to visit people, but that's not my top, you know, quality there. Arnold Vest, you know, I went to church with. That guy'd rather visit people as anything he ever did in his life. He don't care. He loved to visit people and he loved to talk to people, and he's really good at it. But, you know, I don't like talking on the phone. You know, some people love to talk on the phone. Just tell me what you got to say, bye. We all have weaknesses, don't we? So I know mine, and I'll admit those, but I try to do what God called me to do is preach the word. That's all he'll judge me for. These other things I have to work on and work on them hard, and I've been working on them 30 years. I figure time I leave, I ought to have some of them a little better than where they're when I started. But we have to have somebody that teaches us the word. Most important thing in life is if you ever get the word of God. He sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and delivered them. He sent his word and prospered them. He sent his word and saved them. He sent his word and put the families back together. He sent his word and called the backslider home. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is sent to confirm the word. The Holy Spirit confirms the word with signs and wonders. Wow. Well, and he will too. I tell preachers sometimes when I talk to them that they're having some kind of problem, maybe financially in their church or different things. And I say, well, how strong are you preaching that? If you'll preach that strong, the Holy Spirit will confirm that strong. And if you're weak financially in your church, then you have to preach it strong. In the church. And you can't be ashamed to preach it. Amen? And if you're ashamed to preach it real strong and bold, the Holy Spirit won't confirm it. And then you won't have the problem. Same way in your life. If you're having problems with something, healing, finances, whatever, you get in the Word and you get in it strong and you believe it strong and He'll confirm it. He will confirm the Word in your life. The Holy Spirit was not sent to confirm you. He won't confirm you. You won't have anything to confirm. And Jesus did not die to make you right. Are you out there? Now, what's that mean? That means if you get it in an argument or talking to somebody, you don't have to be right. Jesus didn't come to make you right. You just shut up and let the other person be right. You'll get along better. Don't stand there till you have to have the last word. Because the other fellows like that, you never will get home. You know, you'll stand there going at it. You and your wife or whatever, just let them be right and go on. You can walk off knowing you're right. So I know I'm right. Amen. Look with me in, what did I say? Romans? I didn't say. Look in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And let's see. I was going to read also and hold your place in Romans and also turn to Isaiah chapter 5. I did have a scripture wrote down. Forgot what it was. Hallelujah. I don't know if we announced it or whatever. I forgot, but Heather O'Shill's dad died. And it's over in Bakersfield. The funeral's this afternoon at 5 o'clock. I think the visitation maybe is last night or something. I don't know. Maybe it's today. I don't have much information on it. But anyway, you can call her, text her, send her a card or something after this. Amen. Tell her you're sorry. I'm going over to the funeral. That's over in Bakersfield. Have you ever been to Bakersfield? Not California. That's way over there in the woods, brother. Last time I went to Bakersfield, probably I was driving a Sundrop truck. You know, I used to drive a Sundrop truck, deliver Sundrops. Yeah. I got $60 a week, I think it was. Sun drop truck, but not more than that. About $100, I think. Had sun drop, cheer wine, and grape, something else. And we'd go around to the stores and, you know, put the bottles. They had their bottles, see. You get your bottles, and the drink was cheaper. If they didn't have their bottles, you charged them for the bottle. And that's back then, you could go to the store and sell bottles. We'd go walk along the side of the road and pick up drink bottles and take them to the store and sell them. You get a nickel a piece for them. Nickel a piece. And me and my cousin, we took off in a wagon, and he's pulling the wagon. I was riding, and I was picking up sun drop, or picking up drink bottles. We'd fill the wagon up. Time we got to a gas station, we'd stop there and sell those and keep pulling. I don't know how many miles we went that day. We'd do that every once in a while, and I stole my granddaddy's pipe one time. And so he's pulling me out the road in the wagon, and I was picking up cigarette butts, getting the tobacco out of them and putting them in that pipe. And I was smoking them. I laid back in that wagon. And I did that for a pretty good while until all of a sudden things just started going around and around. And he looked around and he dropped that tongue of that wagon. He said, "What is wrong with you?" I was as white as this pulpit. I said, "You talk about sick." I said, "Oh, I got to go home. I think I'm dying." I don't know how old we were, 8 or 9 years old. That's the last time I stole Grandpa's pipe and put cigarette butts in them. Them old cigarette butts, don't tell how long they'd been laying beside the road. People flip them out, you know. I was getting that good tobacco and putting in there and smoking it. That was nasty. Well, that's better than corn silk or rabbit tobacco. You ever smoked that? That's a country boy. Corn silk, dried corn silk. Yeah, dried corn silk or that rabbit tobacco that grows out. You know, we'd smoke that stuff. It'd dry out. I guess that's where marijuana come from. Some old country boy one day was smoking that stuff and found something and said, "Woo!" You crazy rednecks over in Yancey County. I remember marijuana first came into Yancey County. It's pretty tight, you know. And there's an old ragweed that looks like kind of like marijuana. The leaves on it looks almost like it. So this one guy came and he had a sack full. He said, "Man, I found somebody's marijuana." I said, "Man, I don't think that's marijuana." "Yeah, it is, too." So he put that stuff in the oven and dried it. Last time I seen him, he was sitting on the front porch, had one rolled up about that long, trying to get high off a ragweed. I said, "Man, I don't think that's marijuana." Old dumb rednecks. Crazy. I got a million stories if I can think of them. I can't ever think of them. Look in Isaiah 5, verse 20. "Do not smoke cigarette butts in a pipe. You will get very sick." I smoked, I think, corn silks or something one time. I smoked it. It burnt, chipped my lips, you know, and all the skin come off of them. Blistered my lips. I think, you know, everybody smoked. You know, kids, you know, you imitate. You know, you become just exactly the people you hang around. Everybody smoked, and so us kids, you know, we had smoked too. My mother smoked those old Pall Mall cigarettes. God. So me and my cousin would steal them, and we'd go to the outhouse, and smoke them and think we could get away with it. All Mama had to do was look out the window, and that looked like an outhouse on fire. Smoke boiling out of it. We'd smoke them just as fast as we smoke. We're still two or three apiece. You know, we'd smoke them just as fast as we smoke. Sick. But that's true. The Bible says good or bad company corrupts good habits. You'll be just like the people you hang around, whether that's in the world, in the church, wherever it is. If you hang around the right people, and Doc was talking about this, the kind of anointing you'll hang around in the church, if you're a minister or whatever, who you hang around, that's the type of anointing you'll get on you. And so that's why you can listen to the Word, people who's teaching prosperity, and they've taught it so long, and they've got the Word, and they believe it so strong, and they have faith for it, there comes an anointing with that. Norval Hayes had that. And if you listen to that, you get that anointing on you. And that's the power to prosper. The anointing is the power to prosper, or the grace, and you'll get that on you by listening to it. Same way healing anointing. You get around somebody that's got a healing anointing and teaches healing. Well, there's gifts in the body of Christ. You may have a gift of healing. Whatever you're drawn to is usually what's inside of you, what you have a passion for. Certain teaching or certain type ministry, you have a passion for that. I was always drawn toward the prophetic aspect of it. And that side of it, because that's the gifting on the inside of me. And that's how you stir it up. That's one way of stirring it up. And if you'll listen to that and be around that, you'll stir that up on the inside of you, and that'll get on you. You ever see people? I've seen people you'd think was Kenneth Hagin. I mean, they'd walk like him, talk like him, have the same mannerisms and everything. Well, how come? They listened to him so much that they took on that same anointing, and it began to show up in their body. And you have to watch that. You have to get your own ministry. I know a ministry who was a strong minister, but he never did develop his own ministry. Here in Asheville, I was in church with him. He led me to the Lord, and or he was there and prayed with me when I got saved. He is the one who prayed with me when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. But he never did develop his own ministry. He acted in everything just like Kenneth Copeland. He'd preach Copeland's messages better than Copeland would. Had the same, he dressed like, walked like, talked like, even have the same little phrases, everything. And what he did, he just was a shadow or a cookie cutter of theirs. Instead of taking what they had and making it his own and using it to develop his own ministry, and he didn't do it, and he failed in ministry. But that's true. You can hang around that, and you'll become that. You'll get strong in that. So whatever you hang around, that's what you'll become, good or bad. Amen? Yeah, that's why you need to hang around good people. That's why I tell people sometimes, don't ever hang around people stupid or dumber than you. I mean, really. We just know so much. How are you ever going to know any more if you hang around people that know less than you, to where you'll look good, to where you'll be the smartest one in the crowd? Well, you're not going to learn anything by that. You need to hang around somebody where that they know more than you, and when you're around them, you're kind of intimidated because they're so much smarter than you and know more than you. That's how God stretches you to know more. Now, our flesh doesn't like that. We want to be around where somebody's light is not stronger than ours, to where our light will shine brighter. But sometimes God will put you where your light gets around people with a much brighter light, and it causes your light to get brighter. That's a biblical principle. And we need to understand that. Amen? And that's why you will, birds of a feather flock together. You'll migrate to people who think like you, act like you, talk like you, because you're comfortable. And so we become comfortable, and we create more of a comfort zone. And God sometimes stretches us and gets us out of that. He'll put us around people that's totally opposite than we are. That's how he sharpens us. You remember I talked to you about temper, being sharp, or a square peg in a round hole. That's how he does it. You have to know God's ways. And he stretches us and causes us to be humble. He works on our character, God does. Amen. He can give you a gift. That's not a problem. He can give you a gift. He can qualify you in a heartbeat. God can. He can anoint you. That's not an issue. But if you're not strong and your character's not strong, then the anointing put on you will break you. It will break you. Because the Bible says the anointing is weight heavy. It says glory, the glory of God is a heavy weight. Prosperity, the anointing for prosperity and wisdom and all that is a heavy weight. And if he puts that on you in the full measure, like we'd like to have, then we couldn't stand it. It would break us. I mean, we would literally break under the pressure. We can't handle it. That's why the Bible says, do not put an immature person in office or give them something to do. Just let them hang around and give them something that's, you know, easy. Let them hang around the ministry, and there you'll feel uncomfortable. You'll feel out of place. You don't know anything about anything, and it seems like everybody's smarter than you, and you're intimidated, and you don't want to preach behind them or around them because they seem much better than you and all that. But that's how you grow. That's how you how God stretches you. Amen? And so we have to do that. I know when I was going down to Bishop Hammond's, and, I mean, he can look at you and tell you everything, you know, stuff. And scary. And really intimidating to be around him, especially, you know, if you have a ministry. And so he'd call have teams, you know, that would prophesy to people. I don't know how to do that, keep that in pocket. And one day, he picked me to go prophesy with him. That's what I said. Oh, my God, I'm going to die before I get back there in that room. Well, actually, he did that two or three times. And you talk about nervous and scared and intimidated and out of place and old country boy and, you know, old roughness and all that. Here, God just throwed you in. Just throw you in there. Oh, Lord. Now, you can back up and run or just go for it. Amen. Well, I just went for it. And I surprised myself that I hit it. That's more surprised than anybody. But praise the Lord. You never know what's in you until it is pressed in you to come out. Because you will not do what it takes to get it out of you. You'll run to your comfort zone every single time. You'll go to your comfort zone. And that's why people who are musicians or singers or whatever, they don't want to be around a group or whatever, especially they don't feel like, well, I want to be somewhere where I'm safe or secure or I'm comfortable. And throw you in there and you have to adjust and, no, that's not how God does it. It's not how he does it. Constantly stretching us. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you willing to be stretched? Yes. Glory to God. How did I get off on that anyhow? Huh? Yeah, that's right. I was talking about smoking, wasn't I? And I remember, I was about 5 years old. I remember that. And me and my other cousin, Frank, he just one just got out of prison, you know. Me and him about like just like about brothers growing up, and we went down. Daddy worked at a dairy farm, and we snuck on. I know I was 5 year old because we lived in a place, and we didn't move from there till I was five, so we were still living there. And I remember going down toward that milk house and got behind a big old oak tree, and we stood down there and we cussed every cuss word that would hurt any of them say. Now, his daddy cussed all the time. He knew more curse words than I did. He taught me a bunch of them. You know, 5 years old, just cussing everything out. So, parents, you think you don't have an influence on your kids. Now, if that hurt us, that'd whipped us. Well, what good did that do? That's what you did. I'm just doing what you did. Why are you whipping me for what you showed me how to do? And I've seen dad sit around and drink and tell their kid, I don't you ever touch this stuff, son. That stuff's not good for you. I want you to have a better life than me. Well, why you love it so and spend all your money and why? And you're telling me, nah, first chance you get, you're going to buy him a beer. Yeah. First chance. You sit there and smoke and drink beer. Now, son, I don't want you to ever do this. Well, you can forget it. You taught them. Amen. Like going to church. Now, son, you need to go to church. Well, they won't go unless you do. Praise the Lord. I don't have a thing in the world to do with my sermon, but you needed to know that so you don't start cussing. Doc said that's a new thing in church now. Was you with us, Penny, when he was saying that? Yeah, I think it was, wasn't there? I mean, a new thing in church now is some what may be called mild cuss words. You can say that. Christians can. The S word, you can say that in churches now. And the D word, that's permissible. And the H word, right? That's, huh? And the A word. A, S, D, and H. Those are permissible now in Christianity, in the church. Well, what they're teaching, that's what they're saying. Not in this church and not in God's church and not in the Bible. It's still wrong. But, so what'd they do? They started drinking a little. It's okay to drink, go to the pub, you know, have a beer and drink, you know. It's okay. Now then it's starting to be okay to cuss. Now a lot of the pastors, I'd say more than we'd think they are. I know all this from Doc. A lot of them smoke marijuana. Yeah, they said it's okay. One church he went to, Doc went to, he went back in the office sitting there, and the pastor came in, and Doc thought, I know I smell marijuana. If you'd been in Vietnam, you know the smell of marijuana. He said, now, I know it. And he said, Pastor, is that marijuana I smell? He said, well, yeah, Doc, I didn't want you to know it, but I smoke. He said, it helps me get revelation. True story. He said, I smoke it when I study or a lot of time before I preach, I'll smoke a little. It relaxes me and helps me calm down to hear from God. That's not uncommon today in churches. That's not uncommon. Not uncommon at all for him to drink. Doc was going to have a meeting somewhere and with a group of pastors, and all of them were going to meet, discuss the meeting coming up, and it's a convention thing he's having, and they're going to discuss that. And so Doc went there to discuss the meeting. So what did they do? They met at this restaurant type thing, and they brought out, had liquor, beer, and wine on the table, all over the table. And all the preachers sat down, and he asked Doc what he wanted to drink. Said, we're going to sit here and, drink, talk, and organize the meeting. And, you'd probably know some of the preachers by name. And Doc said, well, wait a minute. You got the wrong guy. I'm not talking. I'm not even sitting with you. The Bible says, shun ever appearance of evil. Doc said, you got the wrong man. I'm out of here. And the little old, is a young pastor, had large churches smoking dope. And Doc said, wait a minute, you don't want me to preach. You don't want me to preach. Because he said, if I go out there, he said, I'm going to bust you right in front of everybody. He said, I'm not going out there. I don't want to hurt you or hurt your church, so you better just leave me alone. And I'll just, you tell them whatever you want to tell them. I'm going out the back door. I'm going to get in the plane, and I'm leaving. Yep. No, Doc, I don't want you to do that. No, he said, well, I'm leaving. And he left. See, that's Doc. But that's not uncommon. That's not uncommon. A lot of stuff going on. Yeah, you and I would, we just know it's not right. But it's happening in church. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. I remember when I was, no, I ain't going to tell that. That's how I'm getting old, start remembering all these long stories. Woe. Verse 20 says, woe. Woe in the Bible, I didn't count how many. I should have looked up and see how many times it's in there. I know in Luke it's 13 times, and Ezekiel 6 times, Matthew is 12 times. Revelation, I don't know exactly how many times. It's the woes in Revelation, you know that. Now, woe here means no discernment, judgment, cursed. Cursed, it means you're doomed. Or how horrible it will be to those. That's what that means. Woe. It means how horrible it will be to these people he's saying woe to. Or a curse is on these people who he speaks this woe to. So when you read woe in the Bible, when he speaks it, it means a curse is coming on the people or on the people. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. A curse will come on these people. Curse. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. The word prudent means their own way of thinking or common sense. The way they think they have just their common sense. They're cursed. These people are cursed who think they're wise in their own eyes or who say evil's good. Now, we're seeing that in our nation now. I mean, how in the world, look at the TV, I don't understand. People are now doing away with police. They're doing away with the police. They're going to defund the police. And some cities are cutting so far back on the police, and they said the Hollywood stars are calling a lot of people, Hollywood, to defund the police, do away with the police department. We don't need the police anymore. Now, how in the world, you know those people are cursed in their thinking. You talk about bringing a curse on them. Well, that's the last day sign. I mean, that's what it's going to be. I mean, what's going to happen if you do away the police? I don't know anybody now would want to be a policeman. I mean, my goodness, look how you're treated if you're a police. You start to go arrest somebody and they spit on you, they curse you, they kick at you, call you all kind of names, and they won't submit, they won't listen to you, and you try to get them to obey, and you don't have any other choice but to find them, to arrest them or whatever, then what do? Then if you do, look what they do. Now, this guy that killed that man, you know, up in Wisconsin, he shouldn't have been a police. He shouldn't be a dog catcher. I mean, that guy shouldn't even be anything. I mean, that's the awfulest thing I ever seen. coming out of a police officer. You know, they should hang that guy. I mean, really, justice is justice. That man really murdered that man. First degree murder. Literally, he murdered that man. But that don't mean we don't need the police. They're bad at everything, you know. But we need to, but the Bible says, you know, about the last day, lawlessness, violence. One of the curses that comes on a nation that, and if you read in Leviticus and where God dealt with Israel and all that, the last straw and the last thing that happened to before they all fell was violence overtook the land. Violence. And it got so violent. See, that's the reason God, one of the things God destroyed everybody with Noah. It got so violent that it was just the mercy of God. Had to destroy man. Or they're just going to wipe everything out. He did it in his mercy. Amen? So look in Romans chapter 1 with me. If you read chapter 1 all the way up to verse 16 or verse 18 where we're going, you see Paul is talking about the gospel and the power of the gospel and these things. In verse 16 it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek, the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. Through preaching of the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed in our land and in our nation and in our homes and in our churches. And that righteous means the good and everything of God. God and his prosperity and health and all these things is revealed. Well, how is it revealed? Through the preaching of the gospel. And so if you get preachers not preaching the gospel, then there's not any gospel revealed. It's all hidden. And so that's why Satan attacks churches or pastors or preachers. That's why it's so important for you to pray for the ministers and the preachers and to pray for me that we would preach the gospel. Paul told Timothy when Nero was killing everybody and taking over, was going to come in and take over his church, his deacons was leaving, everybody was leaving, but in fear of Nero, because he was killing everybody, and Timothy was leaving, and Paul wrote him a letter and said, no, you don't have the fear. Boy, you have something in you. You stir that up, you stand up, you can make it. And he told him, he said, now the answer to your problem, Timothy, the answer here, what you need to do to confront this evil spirits in the land, and this spirit that's behind Nero, and this spirit that's trying to kill the people. It's a spirit. We're fighting a spiritual battle in our nation. See, most people don't see it. Church don't even see it. And Paul told Timothy the way to confront this, preach the word. Preach the word. Be in season. Preach it in season, preach it out of season, preach it with all long-suffering. He said, preach the word. Now, who would think that like it is today in our land where they're rioting, looting, and violence and doing away with the police and doing, and it's getting worse and worse and worse, who would think the answer is just get in the pulpit and preach the word? Who would think that's what the answer was? We know it's the answer, but nobody else knows it's the answer. Why do you think they're trying to shut down the churches or stop the churches? Because Satan knows it's the answer. Where the word of God is preached, where holiness is preached, where righteousness is preached, where right living is preached, that's the answer. And when we get away from that, we've lost it. When people get numb to the preaching of the gospel, they're not hungry for the word. Like Doc said the other night, like I've said many times, when you lose your love for truth. Now, he didn't say that they lost the truth, these people in 2 Thessalonians, They lost their love for the truth, the love for the truth. And when you lose your love for the Word of God and your love for prayer and your love for going to church and your love, see, then we're in trouble. And that's happening in the churches in America. The love. There's a remnant, and we still love it, but not many. Amen? And this says, goes into verse 17, For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, for the wrath of God, is revealed, that wrath of God. Wow. The wrath of God, the wrath means judgment of God, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Who suppress the truth. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. So, what is the wrath of God? What is the judgment of God? What is the release of this? What is it? God's not... We think the anger of God is God just said, I'm fed up with this stuff. We think the anger of God is like our anger. But it's not. God's anger is in mercy. God's anger is in grace. God does it because he has no other alternative. He has to do it because of his love for mankind. He has to do it because of his love for his creation and for his people. He has to do it. He has to judge. Now notice it come from heaven. It's revealed. It's already there. It's just revealed. Now what caused it to be revealed? Unrighteousness. And these people suppressing the truth. So when we see liberal Washington, and we see these people suppressing the truth, don't want the Ten Commandments and all these things, they are causing the wrath of God to be revealed. You have no other choice. Amen? It's just an automatic thing. It's like you press a button, you get something. Well, they're pressing the wrong button. And we see it boiling over and into our streets and all over America because of their unrighteousness and their lawlessness that they're committing in the face of God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Ungodliness means a wrong attitude toward God. And unrighteousness of men suppressing the truth because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them, because there's a reason this is coming on the land. Because for since the creation of the world, the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen and understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify God, nor were they thankful, but became empty in their thoughts, and foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. That's pretty much what Isaiah 5 said. They, by doing this and acting this way, they're bringing a curse on themselves and bringing a curse on the land. One place in Leviticus says, if we do these things, you make the land sick. And we see our land in America now sick. Look at the young people. All these are young people, you know. Just sick, just like the earth is throwing up, violent. And look what crazy decisions they're trying to make. No law enforcement. Get rid of all the law enforcement. What in the world? And one person on TV said, well, what would we do, you know, in violence and all these? Luther said, well, we'll come together and we'll talk with them. and we'll talk to them, and says they're just angry, and they're angry for a reason. They have a right to be angry. And when you get rid of the police and all these that's causing this, the police and all of them causing this, if you'll get rid of that, then there'll be no cause for us to be so angry and go out and loot and kill people. We won't have any excuse to kill, beat people up in the streets and stomp a man's head in and go in and loot and tear it. We won't have an excuse now because our reason has gone, which is the police. Wow. You see how stupid they are in their thinking? How you reason with those people? It's impossible. You cannot reason with them. And then they try to get rid of Trump, the only voice that has any reasoning whatsoever in the matter. They try to get rid of that. Unless the church prays and preaches the gospel strong, and we pray strong and live strong and get in the spirit strong, there's nothing to combat this, to stand against this. Are you out there? Because these people, they're nuts. Literally, because their mind, they've been given over and their mind's cursed. It says here they're given over. They changed the glory of God into an incorruptible God, an image of corruptible man, like birds and animals. Therefore, God also, now look, God also gave them up. God gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, dishonored their bodies, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use and all that, you know, and become homosexuals, because God gave them up. Why'd God give them up? We just read, they gave God up. They gave God up, and God said, all right, I'll give you up. I'll just take my hand back. I'll just loose my grip on you. I'll take my arms from around that was around you. I'll just drop them. Then your mind then will become so confused and so cursed in the way you think that you'll call good evil and evil good and literally think it's right. And there's no reasoning whatsoever with them. None. Because their mind, that's the judgment of God. We think, I've had people say, you think God's going to judge America? And we think that means he's going to send a great earthquake and all that. No, we see what the judgment of God is. Giving man up to himself. That's the judgment of God, giving man up to himself, to where he thinks and acts like that. And what this does, he allows man to blaspheme the Holy Ghost then, to turn totally away from God, to do these things, and just wind up in hell. And you pray, and God says, nothing I can do about it. They wanted this. And woe to those people, God says. Woe to them. That's sad, isn't it? Well, you know, I've read you many, many scriptures on the last days. I'm going to read over in 2 Peter chapter 3. And I know this, truth is greater than a lie. We are people of truth. Truth wins if we stand strong in truth. We win. Light is stronger than darkness. And no matter how dark it gets, how vile they get, how evil they get, how lawless they get, light is greater than the darkness that they have. The Word of God is the answer. Preaching the Word of God, living the Word of God, coming against these things is right. And it'll be a barrier, just like Doc read the other night, and I've preached more many times, told you. We are the only thing that is resisting this. You take the church out of this mess, I mean, you talk about in a week, you see what would happen. You take the church, the restrainer, out of here. You take us off the scene. The Antichrist will come on the scene and he'll calm everything down. But without that, they'd kill themselves and destroy each other. And 6 months, they'd all be just like a pack of dogs. Animals has more sense. Really. Animals don't act like that. They're destroying themselves. Chapter 3, verse 3. We'll quit here. Knowing this, that scoffers shall come in the last day, walking according to their own lust, saying, where is he, the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the very beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget. Willfully forget. Like Romans said, all the scriptures say, for they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then exists perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are preserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. You know what all that means? Man forgets God. They forget that God destroyed the earth one time with a flood and wiped, killed every man on the face of the earth except Noah and his family, eight of them. Well, most people probably don't even know that in America, these young people. What's happened? Something's happened to the church. Something happened to the preaching in the church. Something's happened to everybody that's on TV that ought to be preaching this. We preached luxury, prosperity, all the good thing, and grace and all that, and not warn people. Now notice, it also says, listen, the earth is being saved for something. The earth is also being saved for God to destroy it again with fire. Amen? But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years the Lord. And you can read on, that's good. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements will melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will burn up. Therefore, since all things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the Lord? Looking for and hastening. So it says here we can hasten his coming. Because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to the promises, look for a new heaven, new earth, in which righteousness will dwell, and looking forward to these things. Lord of God. So, if we know that everything we have and everything we own, everything we've got, is just going to burn up. It's all going to just wash away. What manner of man should we be? He warns us. What manner of man should we be in this hour? Well, a man of righteousness, a man of holiness, a man of belongs to God, God only, and we serve nothing but God. We look to God and nothing else. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Stand up with me. I know I might have rambled around and give a lot of things, but I said something is good. I did. Well, we see a lot of crazy stuff. Who would ever thought People have been preaching about the coming of the Lord for years and about the end times. And, you know, it probably, we might not have said it, but we've had kind of thought it or had that kind of feeling. Well, we've heard that all my life. I've always heard that. And now when we are sitting in the midst of it and we see things just kind of wrapping up, it's hard to grasp it. It's hard to grasp. We're seeing what's going on in America. Who would ever thought? And we've not finished yet. Amen? But matter not, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I'm ready, aren't you? Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you that we're able, Lord, to live in the last day. We're able to live strong, and we're able to live above it. And we're able, Lord, to be an overcomer. We're able, Lord, to be a conqueror. We're able, Lord, to be a person of truth and to love the truth. We're going to love truth, Lord. We're going to love the things of God more than ever. You warned us and you told us. You better stay in love with truth. You better stay hooked up. You better stay close, because these things are coming and they're very deceptive and they're easy to pull us aside. But Lord, he that knoweth the truth will remain in truth, and the truth will preserve him, will keep him, for thy word is truth. And we're saved in the ark of your word. Your word will save us. Your word will protect us. Your word will guide us, and it'll keep us strong for the hour we're living in, and we'll not be soon shaken. Thank you, Lord. We look up every day and we say, Lord, come quickly. Come, Lord, please come. We're ready. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Now remember, no church Wednesday night. You're going to come and read us a blessing. Yeah, I know it. But read us a blessing. We need to go out with a good, strong blessing on us. Need to hear that. Psalm 91. You think I'd get in, did you?
Hello?
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 Oh, I'm still on.
You're still on, too.
Hello?
You want to sing a duet?
Duet, let's sing also.
So remember, Elaine's coming this weekend. No church Wednesday. Don't forget about Sunday school every Sunday. Breakfast starts at 9:30 back in the back building. And then you have your class. We'll do Psalms 91, Jason. And they're doing a good Bible study on the authority of the believer. Now more than ever, we need to know what authority we have and how to use it. And Kenneth Hagin has a wonderful teaching on that, and Miss Karen has been leading that. Amen. So let's say our Psalms 91 confession together. We claim this. We believe this. Okay, there we go. Are y'all ready? Here we go. We live by the words of our mouth, and we confess Psalms 91 right now in Jesus' name. I say that no evil shall befall me, and no plague shall come nigh my dwelling, for he has given his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. I am going to live in great peace, great joy, and great prosperity. The grace of God is upon me, therefore I have the ability of God in life to be an overcomer. Everything I put my hand to will be successful. I have favor with God and man. I go from strength to strength. I will rule in this life, live in joy, and walk in the love of God. Yes, we will. We claim it. I'm going to pray a blessing over you, and then you can be dismissed. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance on you and give you great, great peace. Hallelujah. We believe it. Go in peace and have a wonderful day. Don't forget about prayer Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. It's up to us.